Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lillard gets it. Lillard from the corner for three. Won't go. And that'll do it. The Warriors do it again. Another comeback as they defeat the Blazers here in overtime and advance to their fifth consecutive NBA Finals.
Why is this team so relentless in the pursuit of wins?
I mean, we've been here before. We've seen everything, every experience you can imagine.
We're going to bring y'all to our huddle.
You are in the Warriors huddle with me, Bram, no Marcus today, but we do, in fact, have our master of all things sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
And I can't tell you how excited I am to announce rejoining us after far too long, an Oakland-grown lead columnist for the Athletic Bay Area, a man with over 18 years of experience covering the Bay's sports scene, including 10 covering the Golden State Warriors, and the author of the soon-to-be best-selling biography, KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest, Mr. Marcus Thompson. What's going on, MT?
So why you just jinxed my book like that?
I thought I was hooking you up. I felt like I'm really just stating the obvious. It's not a jinx. I mean, I can take it back if you like.
Nah, it's cool. We're going to see your powers of persuasion on the universe.
That's absolutely...
If you can speak stuff into existence, let's see if you got it like that.
See, that's how I got it, and I only use that power for my boys. So be excited for it. Since the last time we spoke, and you don't need me putting this into existence, it's already happened, you've become the author of a best-selling book in Golden, man. How's the big-time life? You sound kind of more important just in the first 10 seconds of this conversation.
Yeah, nah, nothing changed. I'm like that rapper who... You know, got a hit, got a album out, right? A hit song, and they still live in a project. you're like, man, I thought you was rich. You got a number one album. You're like, nah, not yet. I got to get that third one. Real money.
That's well, if it me. Makes you feel any better, I'm like that raptor who lives in the projects who tells people I'm working on my album. Just sit back. It's coming at some point, you know? So at least you have something out there. We're going to be talking about your book, which both Maxime and I both read, both really enjoyed as the focus of today. But I love having you on, man. It would be crazy if I didn't take advantage of your insight. And the Warriors are on the eve of going to their fifth straight finals appearance. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Let me start here. My favorite segment is this thing called Off the Court Report. And the concept's pretty simple. If people are listening to this pod, they like the Warriors enough, they're watching the games, so they know what the hell happens between the lines. But you have access to this team off the court. You see what they do outside of the line. So for the segment, I shut up, give you the mic. Any stories, anything that sticks out recently, we'd love to hear.
Oh, man, that's a lot. Let's see. You want something? You got to give me a better window. Come on, you got to help me out. You can't just set up. You got to help me prompt.
You just so came back
all time. What are we talking now?
All right, let's go.
We're narrowing it to Portland.
I'm going to hit you for two if we're going all time. I love this. So first one, we'll go Portland. I know you were out there. I saw some of the video you took after the game. What do you got for me from the Moda Center?
Let's go with something better. I go with Alfonso McKinney. Just a little moment, right? I'll tell you about my powers of persuasion, actually.
Perfect.
So we went to the Nike employee store in Beaverton. And, you know, all the players who are Nike reps or who, you know, endorse Nike, they get to go to the store. It's like the Nike outlet.
Yep.
But with another discount on top of it, right? Yeah. Better than Nike outlet, though. More stuff, but then you get the quote-unquote employee discount on top of it. So we go to this store. It was Jordan Bell was there shopping with his mom. Who else was there? Alfonso McKinney was there. Marcus Derrickson was there and went all the way out there and didn't buy any shoes because he was going to some other exclusive shoe joint. So he was just riding. When I was leaving, like Quinn Cook showed up, Damian Jones, Jonas Jerebko was in there. So we're basically all ships in the night shopping. It was a zoo. You know, they had these huge carts. I had like a budget. I was buying my daughter something for her birthday. And so then, because, you know, it's like a 30-minute ride, maybe 20-minute ride, we took the Uber out, myself, Monty Poole, and Sean Powell. But we got some plug that we could ride on the bus on the way back with them. So on the way back, I rode, Fonzo McKinney. We sat by Fonzo McKinney, and I got to learn about, like, McKinney and how he knows a couple of people from The Shy. He was telling me one of the actors from The Shy is really from Chicago. And I was like, they really pulled a dude out of Chicago. He's like, yeah, I know that dude. And he was like telling me what the spots, like the chicken place. He was telling me that's the chicken place that's by his house. It's not, they changed the name of it, but it really is a chicken place that everybody go to. So he was telling me about The Shy. And then he was just talking about how crazy it is that he's like, you know, about to head to the finals. And yeah, he was just like amazing. And so I was like, hey man, you starting? And I was like, yo, you know, you really about to be starting, huh? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, man, I know you starting, because I saw Andre. I bet you Andre don't play. There's no reason to play him, and that means you probably have to start. He was like, I don't know, I think Andre is gonna play, because we gotta end this series, like, we can't mess around on this one. So Andre might play. And I was like, that's exactly what Andre was saying. But I still think they're going to say, nah, he ain't playing, just because he needs to be healthy. And that means it's on you. And I was like, man, I think you can close the series. I think you'll be just fine. You from Chicago. He was like, yeah, I think so too. I think I'll be all right. And look, Alfonso McKinney starts, and they close out the series.
I love that story.
On a bus with some Nike bags.
And
right?
did you, I mean, you're a great read of people. Let me ask you this. Did he seem, so you bring up that possibility. You're watching him work through it for the first time right in front of you. Did he seem nervous about starting?
Nah, he seemed nervous about, wait a second, I'm not supposed to be telling this reporter nothing. I felt like he knew, but he started, because we were just talking, it was free flowing. I was like, oh, you start, man. I think he felt like, man, I know what you're doing.
That's exactly right. This veteran-ass reporter just trapped me in a game of chess, you know, which is nicely played.
I mean, I wasn't going to use it. It really just hit me like that he was about to have a moment like that. He's about to be starting, because he was talking about a moment. I was like, wow, and you about to start in the Western Conference Finals.
I feel like you just set my ass up too. You push me to give you a prompt. I go out of my way to tell you Moda Center. Then you give me an amazing story that has nothing to do with Moda Center. So nicely played.
I mean, we were talking about what was about to happen at the Moda Center.
Yeah, okay.
So that's pretty good.
There you go. And you pulled it out. Marcus, I kissed your ass already. I said I love having you. One of the reasons that's true is that although the Warriors now enjoy amazing coverage and there are remarkably talented beat writers all over this beat, a lot of those guys are kind of new to the game. There are very few people who've done what you've done and have seen this team grow up in front of us. You've been there through the nasty times and the good. And so because of that, I've been crafting questions since I knew you were coming on over the last couple of weeks. I've been throwing questions left and right. I got a few for you here, and let's call this a preemptive apology. My questions are going to be kind of jumping around the timeline a little bit. So if you're getting some conversational whiplash, that's on me. But here's my first question for you. And I think the answer got way harder this week. So the question is this. Let's assume Draymond is completely healthy. Let's assume we do not have to worry about his health right now. Would you give him a max contract? And I know he's not up until a full year, but the Warriors have to consider it during this offseason. Otherwise, they probably have to consider a trade. So if you're Bob Myers, do you give this dude a max deal?
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you give it to him? That's the part I don't understand. What's the good reason for not giving it to him?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we saw what the season was like with Kevin Durant as a free agent, like, non-committed. Right, and how that was a major, like, thing that just kept cropping up. What happens when you just tell Draymond, yeah, we want you back, but, you know, you're just going to have to take a discount because like that's not a recipe for a good locker room, right? And just what's the point, really? Like, what would be the reason you're not giving them the money? Is it because you don't want to tie up the salary cap? It's already tied up, right? Is it because, like, you know, do you want to save some money? Why are you interested in saving money? And since when? When did that start?
Especially
secondarily.
Go ahead.
You know, like, what you gonna do without Draymond? You know what I'm saying? Like, like even with Kevin Durant, if you take him out, you could still beat some teams, right? You're still great enough. You could find enough scoring. You could find enough ball handling. Man, you take Draymond, I don't know where you find enough of what Draymond does on this roster.
Yeah.
Like, so I just don't know what the point will be. Is it, like, if you're Bob Myers, of course you got to think about the future. Maybe you say, you know, maybe you try to get him to take 3 years instead of the full max, right? Maybe say we'll give you full max for 3 years, whatever. But if it comes down to this 5, maybe 7, 8 year window, if you can make this a full 7, 8 year window of, like, just epicness, is that worth, you know, 2 years of Draymond not making his money? Like, whatever you'd be trying to hang on to by not giving them the max, it's just not worth what he's going to bring. So that's how I feel. I don't know the good reason. So, like, Clay, what's the good reason to not pay Clay?
Is health, like, a consideration?
To save money.
I mean, I took away the only good reason. Your boy Rusty Simmons has been on this show and has brought up concerns about Draymond's health since he was a little bit overweight to start his career. Maybe, you know, we have to worry about the ligaments. Do you have any worry about that? I mean, do you think, is that something that, because
I think
of all
that's
the other
worry
reasons,
for everybody? Like,
you gotta
worry about that with Steph. You know, he's always got some health stuff. I just feel like it's a bad precedent for the mojo of your franchise, for the messaging you're telling every other player ever in this league, and what you're even telling the staff, that if dudes bring you 4 championships, and now at the end of that you're like, yeah, I don't know, like, it just, that's not a good way to be. Like, it just, it's not a good setup. Like, if you think about it, if you're trying to go get this next dude, you know, whatever, whoever it might be, like, to carry this thing forward, you basically telling him, yeah, bro, the moment you ain't got nothing left, we cut the cord. Like, that's what you're saying. Like, nobody has done, like, if you don't take care of these dudes, right, who turns you from $450 million in debt to $3 billion in profit, like, who are you taking care of? How can anybody feel comfortable?
It makes sense,
right?
To me. They did the same thing for Andre, kind of.
Absolutely. Look, like, and they kind of didn't want to, but in the end, it was like, all right, Andre, what do you want? And Bob Myers says this all the time. He's like, look, I just bank on the player, right? You just bank on the player. Like, even though Steph, like, you don't know, you don't know what he's going to be. You offer him $44 million, you don't know. That could have been a contract right there, hamstrung the franchise. You just don't, but you got enough data on the player, you just bank on the player. And we're not talking about Anthony Davis, right? A guy who's incredible talent, who's been hurt, and you just don't know, right? Like, you don't know him. So, like, that, all right, would you give Anthony Davis a bunch of money? Everybody in the league would. So would the Warriors, but you just don't know. With the Warriors, you actually kind of know. And you do know at some point it's going to end. But that's just the price you pay. Like, that's the price you pay. That's how it is. Yeah, like, you ride it out.
You've talked me into it. I mean, I've always kind of been on the fence. I was a little bit worried about his health. But I tell you what really speaks to me about what you just said is, you're not just speaking to Draymond. You're not just speaking to this locker room. You're not just speaking to Dub Nation. You're talking to every potential free agent out there. And if you've gone out of your way not only to win with Draymond, but to call Draymond the heart and soul of the team, because that's what we've heard, right, for like the last 5 years, you can't turn around and shaft him without screwing over the public image everywhere. So, yeah, I think you're on the money.
Yeah, there's some, like, when Steph came up for his deal, right, and he was like, you know, look, you better get max, but You know, Steph is the one who said, now, look, before I do this, is there any advantage to me not taking Max? Like, if I took less, does it help us at all? And Bob Myers had to be like, yeah, no, not really. So you take the Max. But you can't operate as if you don't remember when the dude spent 4 years underpaid. Like, you can't be a good organization like that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, all right, Draymond spent his first few years making nothing. Like, he didn't get paid until after they won the first championship. You know, so if you were okay with getting way more production than what you were worth at that time, then you got to be okay with the prospect of getting less production than what you're paying on the back end. Like, that's what the Warriors are good at. You know what I'm saying? They're good at. Like, anybody else probably would have been cut the thing on Sean Livingston. But you know what? They're like, nah. You know, he's probably going to have to retire first.
Right.
And you know what? He knows that. Like, he know. But he's earned the right to keep playing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's come through so much for you.
Yep.
It's a bad business practice to do to then, when it's time to take care of the people who took care of you, to be like, yeah, I don't know, we got enough money. Unless there's other reasons. If it's just to save you money, all right. And that's all it is you're afraid that Draymond might get hurt and you spending a bunch of money on Draymond.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. That's the case. Move the contract or you just eat it because the dude gave you 6 years of a dynasty.
Well, and we know that Lacob is more than willing to shell out. You know, I don't think that trying to penny pinch is something that is a part of this Warriors DNA. But you brought up something that I think is really, really important in terms of data points. And, you know, a lot of the talk has been around his health. And in the regular season, we're talking about Draymond potentially being past his prime already. And what did we see is when he gets to the playoff, he shed a ton of weight. And he came in. I mean, he is the ultimate example. He is the incarnate representation of his 16-game player. And if he's going to continue to practice that kind of mindset, as far as I'm concerned, that's the best possible investment you can make, because that's a player that is going to take care of his health. It's not going to beat his body up for 82 games and be prepared to play when it really matters in the postseason.
Well, he also, him losing that weight and playing the way he's playing really underlines what Marcus is saying. I mean, he did that for one reason. Draymond knows what the hell his value is. He's proving to the world that he's a max player. And if he does this and the Warriors don't give it to him and then ask him to go back into that locker room, it's fire in there. You know, the bad kind.
Zero chance.
Yeah, there's nothing that comes out of that. Well, let me ask you this, man. And so before the mics went hot, Marcus and I just briefly were talking about the Eastern Conference Finals. And it looks like Toronto's going to tie it up today. It looks like it's going to go 2-2. MT, who do you think? What's a better matchup for the Warriors? Who should we be rooting for as Warrior fans that come out of the East?
I'd probably say Toronto. But now I'm a little... Milwaukee's just a problem, man. Like, they just... like, just far as matchups. I mean, I even wrote about this back when they won by 20. Like, they just present problems that other teams don't present for the Warriors. Like, that's just their strengths are, like, counter to the Warriors. The Warriors are perimeter heavy, right? They got all these talents on the perimeter. And Milwaukee's, their strength is really their front court. You know, small forward, power forward, center, like. And they're athletes, they're long, they play defense. They just present some problems. But the one hesitation that I've always had about Milwaukee is inexperience.
Yep.
And they rely on a lot of guys. And, you know, this is probably working to their advantage because they rely on a lot of guys who are like veteran journeymen, right? People who don't inspire that kind of fear in you where you're like, man, look. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how the Warriors was like, yeah, well, I bet you Myers Leonard can't beat us. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were like, yeah, shoot all you want, sir. If you're shooting, we're good. I think the Milwaukee's got a bunch of players like that. But it turns out that because they're experienced, they don't rattle easy.
Yeah.
So even though they might not be, like, you might not be afraid of George Hill, of Ersan Ilyasova, right? Like, even though you might be afraid of them, like, collectively, they're not going to get scared of the moment. I mean, George Hill was trash in the finals last year.
Yep.
I mean, he was terrible for Cleveland. But now he looks really good.
Yes,
you're like,
yeah,
what happened? So the part that makes me think, man, they don't have the experience. Like, maybe they have enough veterans who've been around enough blocks to be able to, you know, just to make you solid enough to overcome that experience. But it looks like it might be catching up with them, because if I haven't seen a minute of game three. I was going to watch it. You know, I took a nap because I was exhausted. I ain't taking a nap. That was way longer than that. Like, how long? Like, a nap, there's a window for a nap, right? At some point, you just
I'd say about an hour. Yeah, maybe about an hour 15.
No, I blew that. I was full on sleep.
Let's let the one audience member in on the story. Unfortunately enough, we pulled Marcus Thompson out of bed. Literally pulled him out of bed to do this.
You didn't actually. I woke up. I set my alarm, slept right through the alarm, and I woke up. Like, if I didn't wake up, you know?
We would have gotten nothing.
Oh, my bad. It's 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we would have gotten nothing. That was great. Well, I won't tell you that I was just sitting here staring at my phone, because that'll make it awkward for both of us, but I was sitting here staring at my phone.
It's 7:30 already? What happened? I don't know what happened. So that's so funny. But I didn't watch. So I haven't watched any of the game. But it looks like the experience of Toronto might be coming in a little bit handy, and maybe Milwaukee will still pull it out. But they're like, their depth, the reliability of their veterans, and the fact that Giannis is such a just an individual problem for the Warriors.
Yep.
In the same way that James Harden can be an individual problem, I think that's just a recipe for struggle for the Warriors. And my only thing was, like, can they not? They might not have the experience. Like, they might not make those shots with everything riding on, because they never felt that before. But it looks like they can make them. So, and I didn't think much of Toronto, even though Toronto won the season series. Like, I just think when it comes down to it, Steph Curry, like, and Clay is just better than their backcourt, and you can do things about Kawhi. The Warriors got like five options for Kawhi,
right?
And many more options than they have for Giannis. But it's looking like, you know, Toronto's got some kind of grit that, you know, they just ain't gonna die easy, you know. So maybe you want the young hot new team, even though they might be more talented, instead of that old rugged team that won't die. You know, they'll take all you got.
Are you trying to make me afraid of both teams, Marcus? I mean, like now I'm hella worried about both of them. Although I tell you what,
you should be. This might be the hardest finals since the first one.
Why?
I would go with that. Just better, more complete teams.
Yeah.
These are teams they're playing against. Yep. This isn't like LeBron with a bunch of scrubs. Or LeBron and Kyrie and a bunch of dudes. Like, the Cleveland always had dudes you knew were going to give you a couple games.
Yep.
Or not, you know. Like, you knew J.R. Smith was going to trick off one or two games just doing J.R. Smith stuff. You knew Tristan Thompson was going to disappear just because they like, feed him all year, and then all of a sudden, he just like, they just stop feeding him, or they won't play him, right? Like, with these dudes have teams. And look, the one time the Warriors lost, that's when Cleveland played the best team-type basketball ever, right? Like, suddenly, like, they were all locked in defensively. They were great on the perimeter as a unit. Like, they were really locked in, and they played epically. I think both Milwaukee and Toronto play great team basketball. So even if you knock off the head, like, they just won't fall apart like Cleveland might have. They're gonna rally. Giannis gonna do other stuff, and Kawhi gonna do other stuff, and other people will step up, and they're good like that.
Hell yes. Well, they're also deep as hell, and they both made moves close to or at the deadline, right? Toronto brings in Mark Gasol, Mirotic goes to Milwaukee. Both of them seem to be playing well. We'll save that conversation and that worry from when we know who the hell they're playing.
Well, here's one more thing. Here's the interesting part, like, that might make you a little worried. They all, like, added players who the Warriors have already beaten. Like, normally that's like, you know, especially with the Warriors, they'd be like, oh, okay, wow, you added Austin Rivers, right? Ooh, we beat him before. Or, you know, when they're like, when Houston added Chris Paul. It's like, man, we've already beat Chris Paul, so they're not phased at all, right? Like, both teams added like players where the Warriors could be like, man, we already beat him, which, you know, could put them in a mindset that we know we can beat them, because look, we beat Gasol, we beat Mirotic, right? You beat George Hill, like we beat them dudes already. Y'all think y'all added, and that might affect the mindset. It might cost them at least one game. if they go in there complacent.
I like it. At this point, I'll hold on to any sense of optimism. Talking about players we've already beaten, and you actually just brought him up, Myers Leonard. So help settle an argument, man. So I don't know this guy. I don't know him personally. I don't know anything about him. I certainly don't know his political setting. But I got in trouble yesterday. I got into an argument. I need you to settle it. Can we agree that Myers Leonard at least looks like he'd like to make America great again? Am I off on saying that or what?
Oh, that's so bloody.
But come on, man. Like, look at the guy. I'm not saying I don't know him, but he looks like a frat douchebag. He just does. Marcus, come on. I'm not totally wrong.
He looks more Portland than me. Like, he looks more like, you know, like
grunge kind of thing. But like, no way.
Make America weird again. Like, I will say this. I'm already biased for Myers Leonard, right? I'm already like you. I don't know if you read, but Jason Quick wrote a piece for The Athletic after they lost game three, and he decided to not write about basketball. He just wrote about like these vignettes about these deeper meanings, and one of them was how Myers Leonard like noticed like this reporter was off, and he was like, man, what's going on? Like, I see that something's wrong. And he tried to blow him off and give him a real fake answer. And Myers Leonard is like, no, like, tell me what's up. Like, I'm watching you fall apart, basically. Like, what's up with you? And then the guy, like, started talking to Myers Leonard and telling him, I think I'm depressed. Like, I don't know what's happening. And Myers Leonard was like, I've dealt with this. Let's walk through this. And he, like, cared about the reporter. And he talked to him, and he helped him through it. And he wrote how, like, that made that moment because, you know, Myers Leonard had been through it. He's been a disappointment. His whole senior, he was drafted with Damian Lillard, right? It was supposed to be the 1-2 punch. And it just didn't work out. And he dealt with being a disappointment and struggling. And he helped the reporter get through that. So once I read that about Myers Leonard, my whole thing was like, oh, man, this dude is the best. Like, I'm happy for him. And, you know, when he had his moment, he's getting choked up. Like, he's, like, hitting every shot he makes and he's getting choked up on the court. Like, that's how much struggle he had been through. So,
you're not going to flip me. You know, I did read that piece. Is there any truth that he was wearing a Confederate flag T-shirt while he was helping out that reporter? I mean, I don't remember. Like, was that in the article or?
No truth. What's in there? If a basketball player looks at a reporter and first off notices that he's going through something.
Oh, it's an amazing story, Marcus. You've made me the bad guy. There's no question at all. I feel like an asshole now. Like, they're absolutely well played.
Come on, you don't walk around Portland thinking these dudes are MAGA.
No, like, no, I don't. No, unless any of them puts up 25 on my favorite team in the first half, and then you know that's all I had left. But okay, you were right.
Turn to the red hat. Let's go.
Man. It was. That's what I started to have to do, and it was my wife who told me you're being totally inappropriate, and why are you screaming it? So you know, and now I'm gonna have to tell her that you didn't agree with me, and it just is what it is, Marcus. It's a loss for me. Let me run this one by you because I think it may. I hope it speaks to you, but I'll keep it personal. One of the things we hear now from Warriors haters everywhere is that there were never Warriors fans until their success, and we're all, you know, bandwagon fans. And that hits me in a weird place because I remember selling out that damn arena when we had, you know, 26 wins. But for you, because you've seen this thing, when you hear that all Warrior fans are bandwagon fans, does it bother you? Are you too healthy? Do you just rise above it and not care? Like, where does that hit you?
Oh, I'm totally too healthy and rise above it and don't care. I think it was my uncle who told me, you know when you're doing good things when people stop liking you. That's almost the price. I mean, that's not like as prophetic as I just made it. Basically, like success, a part of success is critics.
Yep.
So all it tells me is, like, dang, look where it tells me that the Warriors like have arrived to levels you don't understand, like we never imagined, right? Yeah. When people are saying y'all used to be Laker fans, like that makes you be like, yo, the Warriors are at that level because that's all they said about the Heat.
I love
that's all they said about, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, no, I love like, this is like art of war. I really like this approach.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's just like, wow, they've made it to that point where nobody even believes them anymore, like that. And here's the fact, you got to admit this. They're not wrong.
Yeah, well,
they're not wrong. You're just so far in the forest, you're not seeing the trees.
Yeah.
You're not seeing the millions of people who actually did not watch the Warriors. Like the original fan was super loyal, but how big of a fan, like how big was that base? You know what I'm saying? Like, think about it. It was big here, but I remember going to college and people thinking the Warriors were in L.A. And this was in Atlanta.
Oh,
right?
I definitely remember that. So they thought they were in
We all have these stories like of when you came across people who didn't even know or care about the Warriors or... You know what I'm saying? Not in these parts, right? Not in the Bay Area.
100%.
Not in the Warrior fan. But outside. So from their perspective, people who haven't been around, people who really thought the Warriors were in L.A., from their perspective, all of a sudden, everybody's a Warrior fan. Well, 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. So they're not wrong. There's a bunch of people who suddenly like the Warriors, and they didn't like the Warriors back when Larry Hughes was out here, right? So they're not wrong, but it just shows you how big the Warriors have gotten.
I feel like this is the end of that movie, The Sixth Sense, where suddenly I'm seeing everything differently. You know, and like I now know that Bruce Willis is dead. Like, yeah, you're right, man. I remember going to L.A. wearing a Warriors hat, and somebody asked me if it was an arena football team. That was about 10 years ago. Marcus, you were destroying me. So far, I've learned two things. One, Myers Leonard is like the best person on earth. And two, Warriors fans are bandwagon fans. This is not how this interview is supposed to go, man.
I mean, look, the Warriors fans aren't bandwagon fans. But Warriors fans include bandwagon fans.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying.
I've been to these arenas, right? I was going to these arenas before the Warriors blew up. Before you go see an arena and, like, you could spot a Warriors jersey a mile away because it was, like,
right.
one.
Right.
Now you go and they're everywhere.
I mean,
right?
What, like, we had. I
never forget San Antonio. Like, what? Is the Warriors jerseys in San Antonio? It was lit. I couldn't believe it. They turned out San Antonio. But look, also, the nature of sports is young, right? Like, kids love sports. Yeah. Young people love sports.
And success.
It's not even possible for young people to be... They got to be bandwagon at some point.
Here's where we'll agree. We've always had... Warriors have always had enough fans to fill Oakland arenas, right? But they never had enough fans to fill opposing arenas. Now we do, and those Correct. Guys, generally speaking, are brand new. Do you care that they're Correct. Leaving Oakland? You and I have talked about this, and I don't remember. So it won't shock you to find out that I'm all pissy about it. I'm still going. They'll still be my team. You know, I mean, it's not like I'm going to quit basketball, but if I'm being honest, we supported them forever. You know, we've been here during the bad times. They're leaving during the good. For you, give me another healthy approach to this. Does it piss you off they're leaving the 510?
But hell yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand. Like, you know, look, I mean, just as a life principle, my whole outlook is always try to understand the other side, right? Because I always feel like if you take the time to understand me, you at least where I know where I'm coming from.
Sure.
And maybe that diminishes whatever animosity. So I always try to understand the other side. Why are they doing this? What's the purpose of it? What are they really trying to get at? And I, for one, I would have a serious problem if I spent $450 million on something and somebody told me what I said it can do with my purchase, right? So first off, like, I'm very cognizant of the fact that Joe Lacob can do whatever he wants. Like, he paid the money, right? So I don't have it in myself to tell him, do not go get the most money you can, right? That's what I don't have my, like, if you just do the numbers, like, it makes sense why he's going to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And we can see by every other concert that would never happen in San Francisco, like, the biggest thing with stadiums is still the other dates when you're not playing, right?
Yep.
And he's creating a new arena for concerts. He shouldn't have any problem filling dates. He could probably pay that thing off. And, like, I get that cognitively. And I'm not going to tell Joe Lacob you can't spend your money. But I can't be disappointed that you didn't see the value here.
Exactly.
I can't be disappointed that instead of doing something that was, you know, like, something just a little bit more community-centered, like, he went and did the thing that would bring him the most money. So, and I don't even fault him for that, but since I'm the one on the other end of the stick, I just feel like it would be great if somebody saw the value here and saw that to be greater than getting the most value.
That's right.
And maybe the difference is $1 billion. Who knows? And, like, I don't have $1 billion, so I can't tell somebody, man, won't you take $3 billion instead of two,
yep,
or instead of four, right? Take $3 billion and stay here instead of four. I don't have that. You can't make people love you that way. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yep. No, of course. Of course you're right.
They don't. No, but yes. Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
No, if I buy a Tesla, I can drive it wherever the hell I want, even if it pisses other people off. I mean, you are, of course you're right. I mean, the what I think is Laker better take a very long, hard look at Pac Bell Park or whatever the hell it's called now, because you know they when
Oracle Park,
when the Giants were winning championships, people were there. When the park was new, people were there. When neither was happening, people were not. And if you look at what Oakland did,
but they still making money.
They are. Like, no, they are. Yeah. Well, and I mean, and the bottom line is the thing that resonates the most, and of course you're right, is it's his call. He's earned it. He can do whatever the hell he wants with it. You know, I can be as upset as I want, but it doesn't matter. He's justified in doing it. I bear the lead, man. I bear the lead. Let's talk about this book, because I really enjoyed it. So Marcus has put out a...
So you finished it?
I did. We went through it. Maxime and I split it, but we both went through it. And I've got some quotes, in fact, to prove that to you specifically. But tell me about it. How long have you been working on this?
I started October 18, right? No, yeah. It came out 19. So I started October. Jeez, when did I start? October 2017 is when I started.
Is it enjoyable? I mean, like when you do something like this.
No, it's not enjoyable.
Why not?
Probably because I'm not doing it right. I remember when I first got the Steph book offer, the agent asked me if I could take a sabbatical. And I was like, man, what are you talking about? Like, who said, no one can't take no sabbatical. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you talking about? And this was like in the middle of the Warriors run. They were like 22-0. And it was like, how could you leave? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's ridiculous. I got to write columns. But I know why he said that now, because books are a daunting, daunting task. And it's hard to do. Like, it's a full-time job. And if you have a full-time job, now you got two full-time jobs. And that's really difficult. So this one was way harder than the first one. You know, Kevin Durant, his access was harder to get, and you know, things did not go smoothly, which put me behind the eight ball, and it was probably one of the, like, if I had to do it all over again, I probably wouldn't do it, even though I did like Kevin, his story. I think it's a story that needs to be told.
Yep.
I think the context of who he is, it kind of gets lost in all these sports debates.
Yep.
But I think it's a good story to tell, but I wouldn't do it again, because not with the time constraints, not with the limitations that I had. So this one was like, when I was done, or even throughout the whole thing, really, I was telling my wife, I'm never doing this again. I'm never doing this again. Make sure you remember me saying this. The next time they bring me some money,
remember that I said,
I'm never doing this again.
Well, I can tell you, as what I would imagine is the intended audience, thank God you did, man. And more specifically than that, thank God you did right now. Because Kevin Durant, you know, his looming free agency has been the story that's driven the narrative for a team that's getting ready to set history. And one of the things I feel like none of us really know, even though he's been in our life for 3 years, is who he is. You know, the off the court report on Kevin Durant. And this book, you know, there's a million different angles and a million different people talking about it. And at least for me, when I'm trying to figure out what I think is going to happen, getting that background, getting this other information was really informative. I mean, it was really well-timed. So it sounds like it was a huge pain in the ass. And, you know, congratulations on finishing it. But it was really good, man.
Man, I hope so, because it almost cost me my marriage.
Well, so did my Myers Leonard's takes, and I'm not getting any money at all from that, man. So, you know, that stuff happens. I have pulled some quotes.
I definitely learned so much. And, you know, I love human stories. I love people stories. I especially love people from the hood and telling their stories. And I do, sometimes it just becomes really trite to say, oh, this player had it rough. And, you know, like, you know where I'm from, right?
Yeah.
I got many people who grew up under similar stories, and it's so easy to just treat that as if it's nothing. But to hear and to learn and to write about his specific story and what that must have felt like and how it must have impacted him. Like, that made it real. That made it like a specific person's story. It brought it to life for me. So there were times I go to the locker room and be like, man, KD, like, I just got to shake your hand. Like, yeah, I don't know how. I don't know how you're still here, right? I don't know how you didn't hit a drug that led you strung out or pull a strap that led you make a stupid decision and in jail or join a gang that, like, stuffed out your potential. I don't know how you did it. So, you know, like, just actually hearing the specifics of his story for me was like, all right, that was the kind of reward. But at the end of it, that might not have been worth the struggle, but I'm glad I at least know that part.
Is it weird covering somebody after you learn this much about him? The next time I watch him, this is not a joke. This is just an illustration. The next time I watch Myers Leonard, it's going to be different because you gave me that story. It just is. You know, I feel like I know a little something about him. You do all this research. You find out who the hell Kevin Durant is. Is it weird covering him afterwards, or are you just used to that because this is part of the gig?
Well, it's weird that it happens live, you know, because like with Steph, when I was writing the book, I already knew that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was already covering a dude I knew. It's weird watching it play out live. And when it's weird seeing him react a certain way and kind of being like, I know why you did that.
Yep.
That ties back to this over here, right? Yeah. So that's the weird part. Whereas with Steph, I kind of knew it already. With KD, I was learning live and it was happening live. And it definitely, it was a filter through which these live events were happening. Like, I was like, all right, I get it.
Yep.
I get where you are. I understand what's happening right now.
Marcus, does that give you a different perspective as you're now, right? Because you just said when you were writing Golden, you were with Steph from his rookie season. So you sort of already knew the story that you ended up writing. Whereas with KD, right, it took a lot more research. But like, for example, I was just thinking about the Quinn Cook piece that you just put out. And obviously, Quinn Cook is referenced in your book because of the MVP context, or I'm sorry, the DMV context. And I'm wondering, like, are you finding that you have more context and that is now enriching, for example, like this Quinn Cook story that you wrote?
Yeah, no question. I mean, like, the more information you have, I think the better off you are. So, yeah, I definitely think it changes my perspective. What it does is it really takes a lot of stuff out of sports context and put it into life context because you know of somebody's life, and most of the commentary is in sports context, but these dudes exist in a life context, and especially KD. So they don't always know how to take that off because this is their life.
Sure.
And we can talk, like, we talk about Myers Leonard. Like, you know, I've always thought Myers Leonard was trash, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that dude ain't good. Like, I've always thought that. But once I read that story and I'm watching him, I'm like, you go, Myers Leonard. You have your moment, right? Hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you do that.
Draymond, I wish I could be like that.
That dude is – Draymond is going to the Hall of Fame. Draymond will be just fine. You take this one moment. Like knowing, like, remember the last play? It might have been regulation or overtime.
The giant dunk.
Steph got the ball. And we're like, nah, and Steph's got the ball. And we're like, I'm sitting there like, all right, Steph's about to end this. I know I got to sign the right Steph already. I'm like, all right, Steph's about to end this. And he calls for a pick, and he switches Seth, and Seth switches onto him. So Steph's got the ball with the game on the line and his brother in front of him. I'm like, yo, please do not torture brother right here. Like, don't you dare do that. Don't do that. Steph, that would be wrong because, you know, this moment means everything to Seth. Right, and it means a lot to Steph, but Steph got all kind of accolades. He could take some L's, right? Steph been through two season-ending surgeries and struggled on the end of it, right, to get right here to this moment. I was like, Steph, you can't do this. You can't do this right now. So, yeah, the context gives you the perspective, like the life. I know, you know, I know what Steph, what it means to him to beat his brother, right, and to one-up his brother, and it meant everything to him to play well against his brother, right? So, like, that's what helps. Once you know these stories, you get to put it in life context. Like, even yesterday, when I think it was yesterday, when Chris Broussard basically had a segment saying this is Durant's worst nightmare, and Durant responds, like, yeah, you think this is the worst? Like, blah, blah, blah. But, like, Durant, he doesn't get to turn off the nightmares he actually been through. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, like, Chris Broussard, who I respect him, he's a good dude. I know we know we all know what he was saying. He was talking from a basketball perspective. This is the worst nightmare. But Durant's like childhood friend, like basically brother, got killed in March.
Yep.
He don't get to, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a real nightmare. Yep. And he don't get to turn that off so we can understand the sports context.
And that's exactly what Durant said.
For me, that's what it does.
I mean, Durant said something like around
the league. When he said that, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, because his response was something along the lines of, yeah, you think this is the worst it can get, really? You know, I mean, it was an aggressively sarcastic take. So, no, you're on the money.
Well, so I
mean, that's what it does for me.
Yeah, and that's a particularly pertinent answer in the context of the Kevin Durant book that we're here to discuss. You know, it's sort of in some ways one of, I feel like...
Very complicated sentence. Nicely played there.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, it's going to get more complicated. Yeah, we'll try to string this all together.
This feels like a sociology class or something now.
Because I feel
Maxime's
like one of
hella
the...
smart, Marcus. Just know that we've added a lot of intelligence to this. So just sit back. He's going to have a very impressive sentence here. Go ahead.
Oh, boy. Well, now that you set it up like that. Oh, geez.
What do you got?
Destined for failure. You made me think about, right, specifically Durant, and you bring this up in your book, more almost than any other NBA superstar that we've seen, at least in the modern era, strives to be ultimately himself, right? So you're talking about Durant was not the vanilla appeaser superstar made popular by Michael Jordan, right? Talking about the perfect package of celebrity from LeBron James or the choreographed realness of Kobe Bryant, right? You're talking about Durant unique among NBA superheroes because he refused to wear the glasses and the suit to disguise his true identity. He had grown increasingly comfortable with your seeing who he was. And I think in light of you talking about getting more of a perspective in this Myers-Leonard conversation. I mean, obviously that's what we want. And it's really crazy that beneath all of these layers of humanity, of who this person actually is, he's not putting up a facade. He's showing us who he is. And I throughout the course of my fandom with Kevin Durant, I have been confused as to whether or not it was fake or real what he was putting up. And I learned in the course of this book, oh, it's real. He's just being himself through all of the trials and tribulations of his own life. And so I saw that kind of coming full circle with what you were talking about over the course of how this sort of expands your ability to see these players as individuals.
See what we got now, Marcus?
First off, like that, those bars was fire.
Yeah, see, that's what's up. That's what we bring now.
Thank you.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. But you know what? You're right, though. I thought the same thing, especially like in Oklahoma City. He was such a nice guy, right? It was like, oh, you know, my mother's the MVP and I gave millions to tornado relief and, you know, I'm a really good dude. Like, he was like almost the anti LeBron in that sense, who was the villain, right, for doing the decision. I wondered about that. Like, so which is it? But it's actually both. And I think the part that we get to see was the part he hid before. You know, when he told me he used to not curse in public, you know, because like that just wasn't cool. He thought it wouldn't be accepted. It's like, oh, okay, so you always had this little edge to you.
Right.
You know, but he just didn't show it. And it's crazy how we do this, right? And it's a little bit hypocritical. And I think in the end, we will appreciate Durant for this because as a sports public, it always just takes us time, right? We just don't get stuff right away. We got to do the knee jerk first. And then we think about it. And then we discuss it and chew on it. And eventually we'll come to a better conclusion. Just like we did about LeBron with the decision, but I think in a live, we want Kevin Durant to operate a certain way.
Sure,
and we're so used to them operating in a certain way that like we're saying we're making this a matter of wrong or right, right? We're making this a matter of like almost of morality, and we're saying, dude, you shouldn't be this way. But the truth is, this is who he is, and why are we telling somebody to be different? Like, obviously. Like, it's probably better for him in many ways if he works on some of his like discipline when it comes to like how he feels and letting people, like if I was his best friend, like I wouldn't tell him to stay off social media. We'd be having a conversation about why other people, what they say, how come it means so much, right? But I know why it means so much,
huh?
Right? Like, it's always meant so much his whole life. So like, knowing it's sort of like, I get it. And I've dealt with young people who internalize things the same way. So the question is not, hey man, stay on social media. So you just want this dude to sit here and just foam at the mouth,
huh?
Or do you really want him to not care that much, right? And that's like But he is willing, that's the part I will always respect, that he's not going to put up the front. Like, Steph, as great as Steph is, Steph will never say or do anything that he don't want you to see or say or do. Yeah. Right? Like, that dude is a pro.
Yeah.
He is a veteran at this. Like, you barely even see Steph get mad. Right? Like,
yep. No,
like,
you're right.
Take it out of the context, right? People will throw shots at him, and, like, when you know him, you can see he's very angry, but he's going to say the right thing when you ask him about it, right? He's gonna say the right thing, you know, like, even after the finals. You know Steph, after the knocking Houston out, that 33 in the second half, you know he wanted to take the mic and be like, this for all y'all, he said I was trash. but he will never, ever, ever, ever do that, huh. Even if he wants to do it. So he's great at giving you the sculpted stuff that he wants you to see, right?
Yep.
And that's fine. It's not right or wrong, but Kevin Durant is just different. Like, he doesn't do that. Maybe he's not able to do it, but the end of the matter is we get to see a person who otherwise we wouldn't get to see.
Sure.
Like, we get to see a basketball superstar at the highest levels, and we get to know, mostly out of it, especially if you're young, like, this dude is he's regular. Like, he feels stuff. Like, he's not this indestructible object. Like, now it matters what you say, right? And maybe unbeknownst to him, like, he is a live lesson for this social media age that just really don't care about what you say and how it might affect people. Like, where it's just like we've lost that kind of interconnectivity where I could say whatever I want. I wouldn't say it to your face. And here's the celebrity who's like, yeah, what was that? What'd you say?
Right. Yeah. Right? Hell yes.
And so maybe he don't know he's teaching that lesson, but he's teaching that lesson, right? And you know, and everybody now know, if you say something about Kevin Durant, he probably gonna see it, right? And he might have a shot to fire back at you. So maybe it's more real life than it was for you, you know, previously when you could fire shots, sure, and nobody would say nothing.
And
now
stay,
you know,
anonymous.
Say,
yeah,
something about Kevin Durant. He might come to you, right? And I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, even if we don't like our athletes to be like that. And I think, and you know how it is, it'll be a 30 for 30, and the dude who was crazy at the time when everybody hated, yeah, him, like, in the 30 for 30, it's like, oh, man, what he really brought was this, and you start appreciating him, and you're right. Right.
Of course.
Like, that's how it's going to be.
There's a word for that. Perspective. I mean, you're just talking about changing the perspective. For example, the way that he interacts with people on social media, the perspective so far has been is that he's not thinking. He's too rash. He immediately reacts. But what you're describing is he's actually doing the things that we want our athletes to do. He's actually showing some of his real personality. He's not buried under a mountain of professionalism. So I think that's on the money. And actually, this fits in to a perspective thing as well. And this is another passage from your book. So all of us will remember November 2018, there's a spat on the sidelines. Draymond and KD get into it. And it seems like Draymond may or may not have called Durant something that rhymes with itch and said that we don't need you. But here is a passage from your book talking about that exchange. Quote, "Now, what if the two are closer because of this? Green recruited Durant. He was closer to Durant than anyone on the team. What if the fight, in quotation marks, made them stronger? What if the beef that was simmering beneath the surface has now been resolved and the two men with a history have made amends? Throw in Curry, whose reputation for humility and sacrifice commands respect, and what if somehow this core ends up stronger because of it?" Answer those questions for me, Marcus. Do you, is that how you view that interaction? Do you think this actually brought the team closer as opposed to separating them out?
I don't know if it brought the team closer. Well, you know what? I will say it did bring the team closer. Just because clearly what was happening was a team that wasn't as close as everybody thought. Right? And clearly there was an elephant in the room that was a hindrance, right? Yep. And can you imagine if this pops up in the first round of the playoffs, right?
Right. Right.
They probably fall apart. So, I mean, I just off KD, I think he might have been surprised by it all. Right? Like, wait a second. This, you know what I'm saying? Like, hold on, what? Yeah. Dude, what are you saying?
Why, like, are you so angry out of nowhere?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just a free agent. Like, why is my free agency different than everybody else? And And Draymond, he's saying, like, you know, like, there's a real life hurt to this. I feel like it all of this, all of the KD criticism is really a compliment, right? It's really people just saying, like, we love you, and we would like you to love us back.
Yeah,
and it bothers
stay.
that you haven't made that commitment, right? Well, I feel like, and one of the universal themes behind the scenes, whenever anybody is talking about KD, it's always couched with this. Like, KD's a really good dude, right?
Yep.
He's a really good dude. Like, everybody says that. Man, KD's a really good dude. Like, so much so people want just him to be happy. And that's that for me tells you about, like, a certain personality, kind of like Quinn Cook. Like, I mean, I just wrote this because I'm always seeing Quinn Cook talking to everybody, right? And it's like, dude, you just had a 20-minute conversation with Austin Rivers. And y'all supposed to hate each other, right? Y'all the Rockets, like, right before the game, y'all over here chatting. And I understand y'all went to Duke, but every Duke dude ain't sitting here talking to another Duke dude for 20 minutes, right? That's not. But so then you hear Austin Rivers say, yeah, Quinn Cook is my man. I talk to him every day. And it's like, wow. Then you start, there's like five of these situations, right, of these people. It's like, wait a second, I thought that was your best friend. Oh, wait, this is your best friend? Oh, this is, like, dude, you got a lot of best friends. Like, why are you so popular? Like, and you just see people who you don't expect to know Quinn Cook knowing Quinn Cook. And it's like, dude, Quinn Cook was just in Santa Cruz. Like, how do you know all these people? So,
I thought you were
Kevin Durant is a similar way. You say what?
I thought you were going to give me a redeeming story about Austin Rivers, and I was going to be like, we got to end this podcast. I hate Austin Rivers. You're not going to take me away from that hatred.
You're going to love him next year when he's on the Warriors.
No, don't you say that.
Oh,
don't
man.
You say that.
You're going to love him next year.
Don't you say that, Marcus. Well,
you're going to love him next year when he's on the Warriors when he get that Steph Curry blessing.
Absolutely not. I won't even talk about that. Instead, I'm not even talking. I'm going to ask you this. Last three questions. Here's the first. What's the biggest reason Kevin Durant would leave Golden State? And this is a guess, right? It's not coming from Durant. This is just your perception. But what's the biggest reason he would leave in your mind?
I would guess because he feels like his legacy was tainted by coming to the Warriors. And there's a part of him like that. Like I said, Kevin Durant likes to, like, he just believes if you throw smoke at him, he can throw smoke back.
Yeah.
And all these people threw smoke at him for making a free agent decision. All these people, and they didn't just say they didn't like the decision. Like, they call him Snake, you know what I'm saying? And they call him Soft. I mean, a dude who made, like, just put on his shoes, imagine what he has gone through, what he has overcome, for people to say he's soft. I mean, like, bruh, like, what is hard then, right?
Yeah,
like, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing been soft about my life.
Yep.
So now you're saying I'm soft. You saying I took the easy route? Like, you know, one thing I know about KD is anything that remotely undercuts his work ethic or remotely, like, diminishes how much work he's put in, like, he's got a problem with it.
Huh.
That, I think that's why for so long he wouldn't say he was 7 feet, because in his mind, saying he's 7 feet means he's this good for some genetic lottery he
right,
won.
Right.
And he's like, no. Like, I'm this good because I worked. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
You're not about to take that from me. So I think if there is a if he does leave, it's because he feels like he's been disrespected and he needs to go get his respect back and make everybody who called him soft and weak, like, eat crow. Like, that's what I think, because that dude is from PG County, from the soil, and, like, this is what you do. When people got something to say, you fire back. And the best way he could fire back is to do what they said he couldn't do.
Right, win a title
and
somewhere
go,
else.
Yeah, win a title by himself from the ground up and show it wasn't him. Like, it wasn't him. Like, he could do this. He is that dude.
Speak the other side into existence. What's the biggest reason why he would stay?
Because at his core, I think Durant is a basketball purist, and there's a part of him that it's like, he plays this game for, like, a love that is just uncommon, but it's very Warriors. Like, it's very common in the Warriors world, but it's very anti-NBA. Like, he loves basketball. Basketball saved his life in a way. Like, Steph loves basketball. Like, Clay loves basketball. Like, you know, they love it. Like, you know, people say, you know, oh, I'll play it for free. Well, these dudes did all of their lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, so there's a part of him that he, like, he really loves the idea of team and camaraderie and sharing the ball and guys just coming together. He loves supporting dudes on the end of the bench. Loves it. He's always, like, now that he's got to this station where he's, like, at the top of the league and he's a veteran, he's 30, he loves having younger dudes under his wing.
Huh.
Right? Like, he loves it. He's always enjoyed it. Like, he loves being that guy. So I think there's a basketball purist side to him.
Makes sense.
That really believes, like, man, what we have here, the kind of guys we have, like, this is the most ideal, right? And if he can... I think if he can get over the fact that so many people disrespect him, and if he can, like, have the patience to just let it subside and let his game do the talking, because after a while, it always ends. It always ends. Steph was just trash in the Clipper series. It was just trash. Like, it always ends. In the end, the narrative is here and it's gone. Like, that's the curse of social media, but it's also the blessing. Nothing stays, nothing sticks. And over time, when you get the body of work, like I said, as a sports public, we just need time many times. We just need time. Remember when LeBron left, he was the most hated athlete of all time. Now he has a cult. There's nothing LeBron can do wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? And there's not, like, just, it wasn't that long ago. It wasn't like 40 years ago. Right?
No, you're absolutely right. They got booed everywhere they went. They were crying in the locker room because they weren't getting support. You're absolutely right.
He was unworthy. He was unworthy of his post. And now, like, he could lose 10 more finals and it doesn't matter.
Yep.
If he can have that kind of perspective and say, you know what? Like, this is only recent. This is only recency happening right here, and I'm going for legacy. I feel like another way to skin that cat to shut them up is to have 5 titles.
Yep.
To have 6 titles, right? Because nobody's saying, oh man, Kobe's got 5 titles, but man, he was the ball hog and he kind of tormented the Lakers for. Nah, ain't nobody saying that. Everybody's like, man, Kobe's got 5 titles.
Exactly right. The history books
LeBron,
speak for themselves.
So in the end, if he got 5 of them bags, 6 of them bags with, you know, multiple finals MVPs, like, that's another way to skin the same cat. Yeah, it would require him sucking it up.
So take us home then, all right? And I'm going to ask it in a creative way. Who will be the Warriors?
I don't know where he goes.
Hold on. Who will be the Warriors starting 5? Opening night at Chase Center. And do not say Austin Rivers, you bastard. Don't include him just as an FU. It's a guess. What's your guess?
Here's what we know. I know you'll have Steph, Dre, Clay, might go Damian Jones.
Okay.
I think they're going to ride him out one more. And either Kevin Durant or, like, Rudy Gay.
I think Rudy Gay makes a lot of sense to me. He hasn't won a title, would be willing to take less money. I mean, he's that guy who could come in. But give us your guess, MT. Who? Do you think it'll be Gay or KD?
I have no idea. Like, and you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do myself a disservice by saying this answer, and then I don't even believe it a month later.
I'll take, like, that. That's fine. I'll take a disingenuous answer.
What KD doing? Oh, I think KD might be leaving. Oh, the national news says KD leaving. Like, I don't know. And then a month later, man, I think he's staying. Oh, he's staying. Like, it's a game that I'm not really interested in playing.
Even if I pressure you, it sounds like there's nothing I can do.
I get no reward. What's my reward on this one? What do I get out of it?
You bastard. I
just don't know. I don't know. Here's what I do know. If whoever sits in front of him can come up with a plan and a vision to make him walk away from Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Chase Center and the most money he can make and, like, a Bay Area that's really starting to accept him, I don't know, the series kind of set him back a little bit. But before he got hurt and the Warriors went nuts, like, people were almost starting to come around. Like, yeah, like, we can't do this without KD. Like, if if whatever New York or whoever puts in front of him that makes him walk away from that, like, then, you know, good luck to them.
Yeah.
Because that's got to be a hell of a vision. That's got to be a hell of a plan to walk away from this. So,
MT,
I don't know what that plan is. And if I say he's going, that means I believe the Knicks can put together a plan. And I don't know. I don't know if I trust the Knicks to be able to do that.
Yeah,
right? If I say he's staying, that means he it doesn't matter to him. Like, he can endure people attacking his character and disrespecting him. And I don't know. I just don't know those answers to be able to make that estimation.
I mean, to be fair to you, I don't think Kevin Durant does either, right? So, I mean, all of this is just is literally pulling stuff out of our butts. You're the man. Thank you. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for writing that book. I don't say that lightly. For people out there who hopefully now understand how badly they need this book in their life, where do they go? Where can we pick up KD?
So, you know, anywhere you buy a book, same place you bought Golden. If you didn't buy Golden, shame on you. But same place you bought Golden, you can buy KD. I'm a big fan of supporting local bookstores. So, yeah, if you got a local bookstore, the Amazon is the easiest route. You know, no Barnes & Noble has shown me love, so, yeah, absolutely, go to Barnes & Noble. But also, if you got a local bookstore, go support them. Or if you see me in the streets, you know me. I got some in the trunk, but then it's like $59.99.
This fool's like too short. Yeah, going deep east, just selling them out the trunk. I respect it, man. How about the rest of your work? Where else can we find you?
Oh yeah, easy. TheAthletic.com/Bay Area.
Boom.
That's where you find me. Yep. I don't even want to tell people Twitter no more. Just go straight to the website. Just go.
Well, we don't have a website, so I will tell you about our Twitter. We're at Warriors Huddle, and our Gmail account remains at Warriors. I'm sorry, WarriorsHuddle@gmail.com. If you want to tell us we did a good job, bad job, love us, hate us, whatever the hell it is, that's where you can take your shots. And with that in mind, go Warriors, and hopefully we'll see you real soon.
Good, good.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.